In a world where everyone can be so judgmental, this podcast takes the time to analyze daily dilemmas and controversies and provide unbiased information and research to help you make sense of life's complicated issues. Dr. Nikki is a clinical neuropsychologist who integrates her knowledge of psychology, neuropsychology, and culture to process current events and cases in an empathic manner from various perspectives. If you are ready to become more open-minded, come be the critic on our couch.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to The Critic's Couch. I am your host, Dr. Nikki. And well, today we are talking about a very, very sensitive topic, abortion. Now, unless you've been living under a rock, you know that recently the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade. If you're not familiar with Roe versus Wade, and especially the young ones, I'm sure are not, this was a landmark decision that was made by the U.S. Supreme Court in 1973. The case was brought by Norma McCorvey, who was known as Jane Roe. That was the pseudonym, who in 1969 became pregnant with her third child and wanted an abortion, but she lived in Texas where it was illegal to have one. Her attorney, Sarah Whittington, and Linda Coffey filed a lawsuit on her behalf in U.S. federal court against her local district attorney, Henry Wade, hence Roe versus Wade, alleging that the Texas abortion laws were unconstitutional. A special three-judge court of the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Texas heard the case and ruled in Roe's favor. The parties, however, Wade, appealed the ruling to the Supreme Court. And on January 22, 1973, the Supreme Court issued a 7-2 decision holding that the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution provided a fundamental right to privacy, which protected a pregnant woman's right to an abortion. The court also held that the right to an abortion was not absolute and must be balanced against the government's interest in protecting women's health and prenatal life. The court resolved three competing interests by announcing a pregnancy trimester timetable to govern all abortions regulations in the United States. Now, in 1992, the Supreme Court reaffirmed Roe's decision against Planned Parenthood versus Casey, although this particular case overruled Roe's trimester framework and basically abandoned the strict scrutiny standard in favor of an undue burden test. However, on June 24th of this year, the Supreme Court overruled that Roe in a case that they were looking at, Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, on the grounds that the substantive rights to an abortion was not deeply rooted in the nation's history or tradition, nor considered a right when the Due Process Clause was ratified in 1868 and was an unknown in the U.S. law until the Roe case came about. So as you can imagine, this has really caused an uproar for many. What's interesting about this is that, according to Pew Research Center, about 70% of Americans believe that abortion should be legal. The opinion for many is that it should be allowed. Some people believe it should be allowed in any case, especially if we're talking about someone who became pregnant because of incest or rape. Other people believe that it should only be involved in those kind of cases. Others state, well, it should be allowed, but there should be restrictions in terms of how long, meaning how long is the child in terms of age. Now, let's talk a little bit about that, because obviously when we're thinking in terms of terminating a pregnancy, it's important to understand at what stage the pregnancy is. Now, what is an embryo? In an embryo, we're talking about the very beginning stages. The first 2 weeks of pregnancies are counted as the time prior to ovulation, in which the body is preparing to release the egg, right? In week three, this is when the egg is released, and this is what's known as ovulation. Therefore, in week number four, this is when the blastocyst implants in the wall of the uterus and develops into the placenta and the embryo, right? So it's important to understand that obviously at this point, there really isn't any development per se. An embryo represents the early stage of human development and roughly corresponding to the 5th and 10th weeks of pregnancy, okay? After the embryonic period has ended, which is at the end of the 10th week of pregnancy, the embryo is now considered a fetus. Now, a fetus is a developing baby beginning in the 11th week of pregnancy. So it's important to understand that prior to that, basically it's cells that are being, you know, combined and developing into a fetus. However, this is where a lot of times people who are what we call, what it's called pro-life, right? Argue that even during this stage, in the embryonic period of development, you know, organs are being formed. The heart and the main blood vessels are formed and the heart starts beating by the 6th week. The primitive brain and the spinal cord, the neural tube, also begins to form. Hence why many pro-lifers say, no, it's already a life that's being formed and therefore abortion should not be allowed. Now, overturning Roe versus Wade has really caused, obviously, number one, an uproar for individuals who are pro-choice, meaning allowing the woman to make a choice in terms of their own body. But it's also caused a lot of difficulty for many clinicians. One of the things that people are not truly aware of is the abortion pill, obviously, is coming into question. And for some individuals, especially those practitioners that prescribe it, realize that they will not be able to no longer prescribe the abortion pill. And how about those women who have serious health complications because of their pregnancy and wish to terminate? Like, for example, an ectopic pregnancy. Or, as I mentioned, cases where a woman is pregnant because of incest or a rape. Most recently, an Indianapolis doctor, Dr. Caitlin Bernard, who's an obstetrician and gynecologist, performed an abortion on a 10-year-old rape victim from Ohio. However, she decided to sue the Indiana's attorney general for defamation because recently, according to the lawsuit, the attorney general, Todd Rakita, made false statements about her and her work. Dr. Bernard received widespread attention after she gave an interview to the Indianapolis Star about the child who traveled to Indiana from Ohio for abortion. A so-called fetal heartbeat law took effect in Ohio a month or two ago after the Supreme Court decision overturned Roe versus Wade. Such laws ban abortions from the time a fetus heartbeat can be detected, which is typically around the 6th week of pregnancy. You know, interestingly enough, a 27-year-old man was charged that same week in Columbus, Ohio, with the rape of the child. Obviously, you know, in terms of abortions, that is not the majority of the cases, I should say. You know, pro-choice activists tend to zero in more on the 98% of abortions that are not due to incest and rape. With that being said, I think you will find that pro-choice individuals will say, okay, well, many pro-lifers are focused on the right of the fetus, but what about the right of the woman? I think where it gets really complicated is quite often when I hear many pro-lifers, they're often talking about, you know, God's will and religion. And I think that for me is where it gets quite confusing, whereas the laws should not really be based on religion. I know I'm going to get some backlash on that, but it should be two separate entities. So yeah, I would highly recommend on Netflix looking at Watch Reversing Roe. It gives interviews about abortion rights, supporters and opponents, and it really gives you some insight into, you know, the whole political campaign towards overturning Roe versus Wade. Again, thank you for listening in and have a blessed day.